This is one of these great scripture stories that not just we have this amazing miracle of someone who was born blind, who never had sight in the first place, regains his sight, is able to see miraculously by just washing in this pool. Our Lord smears clay on his eyes and has him go wash in the pool. And all of a sudden now he can see. For those of us who have sight and have had sight for better or worse, you know, some of us were nearsighted and need corrective lenses, or farsighted and need corrective lenses, but we can still see. To lose our sight is a terrifying prospect. I think for those of us, because we as human beings, by and large, our dominant sense is our sight, the idea of losing that worries us to no end. And fortunately, you know, there's short of, you know, something like a total degradation of sight, total loss of sight, we have ways to correct many of the ways that our sight can fail. But that is always a concern. What would happen if we lost our sight? How would we be able to live our daily lives if we could not see? And it's, if you've ever met someone who was born without sight or lost their sight at a very early age, it is actually pretty incredible how they can get around in this world that is so structured for those who can see. It is almost miraculous the way they can interact with the world. And much obviously has been done to make it easier for people without sight to be able to get through their daily lives. But physical blindness isn't the only blindness that we can have. And we see that when we look at the figures in this reading. There's also a spiritual blindness. There is a spiritual blindness that comes through sin, as St. Paul talks about, how we were born in darkness. We were born darkened. And through sin, our intellects and our wills have been darkened. We do not see the world as God intended us to. We do not see the full reality of the world. Look at the first reading where Samuel, as was culturally appropriate and as was expected, wanted to choose the oldest son as the new king of Israel. He knew he was sent to the house of Jesse to pick out the new king of Israel. He didn't know which son it was, though. And so, of course, the first son shows up, and oh yes, this must be him. He is the first of this family. He is the oldest son. It must be him. And of course, that wasn't the case. As the reading says, not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. Samuel, this prophet, only saw the exterior, the oldest son. But God had chosen the youngest son, David, because he knew his heart. He knew that David would be the greatest king of Israel, even for his flaws in his sin. We are blinded by sin. The effect of our lives is affected. All our lives are affected by sin. We do not see the spiritual realm. You know, I've heard it said, and I think this is absolutely true, that if we could see the spiritual realm as it is, we would recognize right now that we are not in a church in Cascade. We are in heaven. We would not see this ceiling. We would not see these walls. Instead, we would see all the saints and angels. We would see our Lord on his throne. Because when we come to Mass, heaven and earth are united on the altar. When you come to Mass, we are in the heavenly banquet where all who dwell in heaven are present. They are all present to us here now. But because of sin in the world, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, we cannot see that. The Divine Mercy image shows us some of that. That if we could see the spiritual realm, when the priest holds up the host and the chalice, we would see the rays of God's mercy and love shining over all of us. But we can't see that. We can't see that because we are blinded by sin. We can only see the physical realm, and even again, for some of us, imperfectly. color blindness, nearsightedness, farsightedness, cataracts, whatever it might be, our vision is affected. And because we are affected by sin, it is so easy for us to stumble away from God, to stumble into the darkness instead of the light of Christ. And that's where we need to compare the figures in this gospel passage. The blind man, the man born blind, versus the Pharisees who could see physically, but were blind spiritually. The blind man believed that our Lord could heal him. Our Lord asked him if he wished to be healed, and he did. And the blind man believed that he could, and he did. The Pharisees could not believe that our Lord would heal this man. Because, of course, this man was born in sin. That was a very popular thing. That was a very common thing. They believed that any ailments like that, being born blind or infirm, meant that you were born in sin. So they could not believe that you know, a prophet of God would heal this sinner, this man born in sin. The blind man received his healing. The Pharisees even doubted it, believed, even if they knew. They knew who this blind man was. They had seen this blind man begging at the temple. And yet they even doubted that it was him. Oh, it just looks like him. It's somebody who's similar in appearance to him. The blind man was open to following our Lord. The blind man knew that our Lord was sent from God. And because he received the healing, he was willing to follow our Lord. The Pharisees, they were closed. They couldn't even believe that our Lord had healed on the Sabbath. How dare he? Not even God works on the Sabbath, is how they thought. How dare he heal on the Sabbath? The blind man, through the gift of God, saw both physically and spiritually. He saw that our Lord was sent from God. The Pharisees were still blind spiritually. They were blinded by their pride. They were blinded by their arrogance. They were blinded by what they thought God would do. The question for us is, which are we? Are we the blind man who is seeking God spiritually, who is open to God in our lives, who can see that God will work in our lives? Or are we the Pharisees who are closed in on ourselves in what we think God is going to do, what we think should happen? Closed in on ourselves and blind spiritually. Well, our Lord came to cure our spiritual blindness as humans, to help us overcome that effect of darkness, that blindness that sin brought into the world, and show us the path that leads to our Father, to show us the light that leads to where we are called to be, to lift that veil of sin in our lives and help us to live as God calls us to live, to see as God calls us to see, to cure us of that spiritual blindness. But he gives us the choice, just as he gave the blind man the choice, to be cured or to remain in blindness, in spiritual blindness. And we can very easily choose against this cure, to remain in the blindness of sin, to succumb to the sin of pride as the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were not healed from their spiritual blindness because of the sin of pride. The sin of pride is the root of all sins. It is the sin that led Adam and Eve to choose away from God and for the world, into the world. Choose the temptation of the serpent over the promises of God. It's pride leads us from the path of Christ. Pride leads us into the darkness of sin. If we succumb to the sin of pride, we begin to focus on how we want things to be, how we think things are. And what we end up doing is making ourselves arbiters of good and evil, right and wrong. Instead of looking to our Lord to guide us and show us what is good, what is right, we choose what we want to be right and good. This was the original temptation of Adam and Eve. You will become like gods, able to choose right from wrong, good from evil. And they chose that to follow that temptation. The Pharisees' response to the blind man shows that. I mean, I kind of mocked it, but it really was their mindset. Not even God would heal on the Sabbath. That's not the case. But that's how they saw it, and how they thought the world was, and how they thought the spiritual realm should be. It was pride on their part. And this is this issue of sin leading us to decide what should be right and wrong, good and evil, is very much a serious concern in our world today, especially in the church. We see so many in the church in recent decades, but it seems like it's kind of having a resurgence again, saying that the church needs to change her teachings because of what the world thinks. Now, the big issue is sexuality. LGBTQ++, whatever they keep adding on. They keep adding on to that acronym every day, it seems like. And that the church needs to change her teachings to fit what the world says about it. But that's not the only one. There are many other issues. Leadership within the church. Who should be the leaders? Who should be the guides of the church? How leadership is exercised in the church. And many, many other things. You can, frankly, just go look at how what the German church is saying right now if you want to see proof of the problems with this. They had a synod, the synodal way, a synod in the German church. I have not heard a single thing come out of that synod that is actually faithful to Catholic teaching. Not one. Not one. This is this pride. This is blindness on the part of those who want to change the church in their image. But it's not just, on a national level. It's not just on bishops and clergy. And we can also come to this. We can sit there and say, well, I disagree with what the church has taught on X, Y, and Z. And I've heard so many parishioners who will express, well, I don't agree with that teaching. Why priests should be able to get married. Just had someone do that a couple of weeks ago. Oh, well, I think you priests should be able to get married. Of course, my response is, what makes you think we want to be married? She didn't like that. But why is she the one who's the arbiter of what the church teaching should be? Had another parishioner at one point say, well, when we say the creed, I don't say the words, believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. You don't believe in one baptism? No, why is our baptism valid but not the Lutherans? She didn't understand. It's not saying that Lutheran baptisms aren't valid, or Methodists, or Episcopalians. She thought it meant that only our baptisms were valid and not theirs. What she didn't understand, and this was the sin of pride causing her blindness. This one baptism means you can't be rebaptized. There are groups, the Baptist churches, they started out as Protestants who would rebaptize Catholics who were baptized, saying that our baptisms weren't valid. And there are still churches today that will rebaptize a Catholic if you go to that church. The problem with that is your initial baptism as an infant, or if you choose as a teenager, as an adult, is the baptism of Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit, you become part of the body of Christ, all these things we talk about with baptism. That second baptism, you just get wet. You just take a bath. That's all that happens. It's not a real baptism. So things like that, these are just two examples of things that I have had parishioners say to me over the years I've been a priest. And when you dig down into what they believe and why they disagree with church teaching, it usually comes from ignorance and pride. They don't know, and they're too proud to admit that they don't know. Or they don't know what they don't know. That's a danger with pride too. Not having that openness to say, I could be wrong because I don't understand. This is the effect of spiritual blindness. All this I talked about, the issues of the church in Germany, the issues with people who disagree with church teachings because they want it their way, is the effect of sin, is the effect of spiritual blindness in the world. And this is why we need to have the humility to be willing to say, I don't agree, but perhaps it's because I don't understand. And to seek understanding, to seek the gift of the Holy Spirit, to understand and be faithful to church teachings. And that's where we also need to be willing to say, I will submit to what the church teaches and has taught for 2,000 years. That is a great act of humility, to be able to say, I disagree, but I could be wrong. And so I submit and I seek understanding. If we're willing to do that, that is how we are healed by the blindness, from the blindness of sin. To have that humility. So the question for us is, how do we respond to Christ, the light of the world who has come into the world? Do we respond like the blind man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Do we seek the Lord? Or do we respond like the Pharisees? Surely we are not also blind, are we? Stay in our pride. Stay in our selfishness. Remain blind to him. May we truly seek the Lord and respond as the blind man did.